Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode number 97 of the CMO Marketing Podcast with your host, me, Simon Dell. Thank you very much for listening in to us. Before I talk about the guest that we have on today, I'm just going to get the usual stuff out of the way. Rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify and anywhere else that you listen to your podcasts. Go and talk to Gilberto at thepodcastboss.com. He is the guy who does all of our audio work. And thirdly, come and talk to me. Come and have a chat with me. Simon at cemoh.com, cemoh.com. Or come and find me on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. Not doing particularly well on TikTok at the moment. Still learning that one. But we're getting there. So yeah, please come and have a chat with us. We love hearing your thoughts and your comments about the podcast. If you would like to be a guest, if you have a great story that you'd like to tell, please drop me an email and we can have a chat about that. Now, on the show today, we have a lady by the name of Xenia Muntian, who is currently, as we speak to her, in Bucharest, Romania, in Eastern Europe. She's originally from Moldova. I would challenge those of you out there to go and get the map if you don't know where Romania is and you don't know where Moldova is. You really should know. So go and get the map out and find out and educate yourself as to where these countries are, because they are important countries with important startup industries happening there. And I think it's important that we understand that, life isn't centric around Silicon Valley and those kind of places. So Xenia is the CEO of a social media scheduling tool called Planable. We're going to talk a lot about social media. We're going to specifically talk about Instagram and Instagram grids. We're going to talk about content production and keeping on top of content production. And we're going to find out a little bit about her journey to becoming CEO of Planable. She's a fascinating lady, clearly knows her social media very, very well. So it is important that you listen to what she has to say. That's pretty much it from me, for my intro. I have nothing else to say other than I hope you enjoy the interview with Xenia. So welcome to the show, Xenia Muntian. Now, that's probably a terrible pronunciation, but it is lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Simon, for having me here.
Now, there's a couple of firsts here. Number one, you are the first person that I've ever interviewed on the podcast in Bucharest. So that's number one. And the second one is the fact that I have had two beers this evening already. So I think this is the first time I've done a podcast slightly under the influence of
alcohol. I love it. Such a great combo.
So the normal podcast length is 30 minutes. This could go on substantially long.
Sounds good.
And to be honest with you, if the fridge was closer, it probably would go on longer. So tell me about Bucharest. That's your home city, but you have been working in London. Tell me a little bit about your company Planable and your recent history in starting that up.
Sure. Fun fact. I'm actually originally from Republic of Moldova. Another first one. You know, you're interviewing first episode to interview someone from Bucharest and first Moldavian. I bet.
Well, absolutely. And without meaning to sound horrible, most people probably couldn't point out either Bucharest or Moldova on the map, could they?
That's
really
fine. Somewhere in Eastern Europe. That's fine.
Somewhere in Eastern Europe. Yeah. Down
yes. I'm originally from Moldova. I'm currently based in Bucharest, and that's the capital of Romania. So you've probably heard about Transylvania and like Dracula. that, you know, right, that part of the world.
That's
vampires. So yeah, I'm the CEO and the co-founder of Planable, which doesn't have anything to do with vampires. It's a tool for marketers to help them collaborate on content and on planning their social media editorial calendars. And I've been doing that for the past 4 years. I had a social media marketing agency before Planable, and that's, you know, where I actually discovered the problem that we're solving today with Planable. Yep. And that's just, you know, the boring stuff that happens in Excels and spreadsheets and emails when you're trying to coordinate social media content. And yeah, we're making that simpler and more streamlined, and just, you know, helping social media teams work together better.
And because I'm going to ask you for an extended free trial after this podcast,
yes, please
explain to everybody what social networks it actually you can use with it, because I know some tools are somewhat sometimes restricted, but you know, how are you, what are you working with?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and my personal favorite one, Instagram. Those, you know, the big four. We support them all.
Okay, so Planable has been running for a couple of years, was it?
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not. I mean, if people want to go and see what Planable does, which I thoroughly recommend, planable.io, you can get what it does within 2 seconds of looking at the website. So we probably don't need to go into that in massive detail.
I agree. Yes, it's pretty straightforward.
I guess the first question I wanted to ask you is, what made you want to solve that problem? Because I'll be honest, we still use spreadsheets, and I actually, one of my team members actually was setting up a spreadsheet today. What made you want to solve that problem? Because we all know that problem is there, but what drove you to actually sort of get off your ass and solve that problem?
I am a highly visual person. And, you know, I feel like when I was working in spreadsheets back in my agency days, I just hated the process because it wasn't visual enough. I also have a background as a graphic designer. And I remember back in my agency days, we were using stuff like InVision. Some of you might have heard about InVision. It's like a collaboration tool for designers. And I loved it. I felt like it was helping me so much to get feedback from clients on design work. And then when I had to get, you know, feedback and approvals and just collaborate with my clients, but also internally with my team on content for social, I had to like use this very clunky spreadsheet and to spend a lot of time to format it. And in the end, I wasn't even satisfied with how it looked. I didn't feel like it was visual enough, and I didn't feel like my clients, I didn't feel like I'm putting my work in the best light. And because of this, you know, kind of attraction to design, and because I'm such a visual person, I think that's what made me, you know, just stand up and say that, hey, we should get, you know, we should have a better way of working on this kind of stuff. And that's, you know, what made me, you know, try and solve it.
So two questions I've got around the startup, and I don't want to dwell too much on the startup side of things, but I do want to ask a couple of questions on there. Number one, when you decided that you wanted to go and build this piece of software, what's the first step? Because building a piece of software is not a small job. Mm. Did you have co-founders that could build the software? How did you fund it? What was the kind of really early stages there for you?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of like prototyping and a lot of customer development interviews, like sitting with people in our industry that could potentially become our customers and like showing them some mock-ups, you know, some like wireframes on how the product will look like. Because we knew that this could be like a very, you know, an edge case. We weren't sure if this problem is something that just, you know, agencies in Eastern Europe have, or if this is an issue that, you know, most social media teams on the agency side, on the brand side, you know, in New York and, you know, South Africa struggle with, or is it just an isolated problem, an edge case of ours? So that's why we did a lot of customer interviews in the early days. And yeah, we were three co-founders behind Planable. And I think that's extremely important to just have, you know, a partner in crime when you're building a startup. It's extremely important. And we, you know, us, the three co-founders, we have very complementary skills. I'm on the business side. Another co-founder is our CTO. So he developed, you know, he coded the product from zero, from scratch. And then another co-founder is on the sales and marketing side. So it's extremely important to find people that complement you. And just have someone, you know, you can count on when things are tough, and they will certainly be in the startup life.
I know it's interesting you say, so one of those steps in those early days was you to actually to prototype it, to show people the visual side of what it was that you that you wanted to create.
Going back to the visual, you know, being like a visual learner, I felt like you needed to show people something. And even now, I prefer to like show you the platform rather than explain it to you, because you're going to understand it much, much quicker if you like see it rather than, you know, try and explain it with words, which is a bit more difficult.
And it's interesting you say that. The reason I sort of hone in on that was because I'm probably going to get this wrong, because I read a lot of books, but I never really remember the books I've read. And I know you have someone who used to work for Uber working for you.
Yes.
But I always read that, read the story. I think it was Travis. I think it was Travis Kalanick. It might have been the Uber founder or the Airbnb founder, but I'm pretty sure it was the Uber founder. Was that before he did anything, he actually designed all the screens for the Uber app.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, really right at the start, before there was a business plan, before that, he designed all the screens for the Uber app and showed them to people and said, would this be, you know, is this interesting? Does this work? You know, almost showing them, not obviously showing them a live app version, but just showing them the screens and getting feedback at that point. And I guess that's a really kind of relatively cheap and easy way to test your theory about a new business.
And an even cheaper one, and I've seen startups do it, just throw a landing page and put, you know, like a subscribe thing and see if people show interest, right? Like a landing page where you maybe put a mock-up and you explain the product and see what kind of interest it creates. That's even cheaper than the other one. And then if you see a bit of interest, you can take it to the next level and like prototype it. And, you know, luckily there's a bunch of tools out there like InVision and Marvel app and some other ones that can, you know, you can almost create an app experience, no code, just, you know, like tying together the screens, and, you know, you can almost kind of like mimic the entire experience of the app just with, you know, just with mockups and designs.
I think I've used InVision, and if I remember rightly, I have zero graphic design skills. There's some great apps out there where you can just like little drag buttons and sections and things like that.
And trigger actions,
Just really, right. You don't have to have any graphic design skills. You just have to think it through, really, I guess.
Yes, yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, I mean, social media, obviously your passion.
Yes.
The two things we were going to discuss today is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is about Instagram, and this is going to seem a very narrow subject matter for people, but I don't actually think it is, because I think it's a massively important part of using Instagram and growing your brand through Instagram, right?
I agree. Yeah.
Is to have that grid, have that, what is essentially the front page of your Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Have that grid looking beautiful, looking like on brand.
Yeah.
Tell me why that's so important.
I think it's like your business card, almost like your Instagram business card. And if you're, you know, so many businesses have grown just purely out of Instagram, you know, direct to consumer businesses, you know, digital only businesses. or, you know, even, you know, brick and mortar businesses that rely heavily on Instagram to promote their services or products. And I think it's extremely important to have a grid that is carefully planned, and you know, that attention to detail is extremely important, because that's, you know, that's your image. That's like your landing page. If you rely heavily on Instagram, and there's so many businesses out there that don't even have, you know, a website, just, you know, Instagram is their home in terms of content and in terms of marketing and in terms of, you know, their audience. So that's why I think it's extremely, it just creates a specific image about yourself, and because it's so, you know, flexible, you can do so many things with it. And it also helps you stand out quite a lot. So if you like, you create a great impression, which can, you know, potentially increase the number of people who, you know, follow you after visiting your page, you know, check your, you know, your page, more frequently. And you know, it's just aesthetically pleasing and gives you the opportunity to, you know, brand your profile even more, and maybe, you know, stand out from your competitors that are not doing that, you know. It kind of creates a vibe that, you know, these people are serious. They're really, you know, putting in the effort of like planning this thing. I might want to, you know, follow them. Seems like they're doing a good job. So yeah, I think that's why it's like extremely, there's cons, obviously. It's like, it's not easy to plan a layout if you want to, you know, like actually design it. Not just, you know, throw posts on it randomly, but like if you want to design it, there's obviously cons to that thing, right? Like if you like design a very specific type of layout, there's a bunch of, you know, disadvantages to it, but I think it is, it is worth it. If you want to go that route and Instagram is so important, it's totally worth it.
I mean, we've been trying to do better at it, right? We got a new brand that we've had in the marketplace for about 3 months now. And we've been trying to make our posts, make that Instagram feed, you know, flow better, look better, have a, you know, consistent brand visual structure. And then what happens is then I take a photo and post it up there when I've had a couple of beers on a Friday night, and it ruins the entire aesthetics of the brand.
I agree so much. So that's one of the disadvantages. Like if you go that route, you don't really have the freedom of posting ad hoc content. Like it always needs to be planned. You don't have that, you know, liberty of like just throwing a post there, you know, real-time content, not really doable. Like you need to plan it.
Yeah. And in that sense, perhaps social media managers who are out there, you know, ought to take away the login details from their CEOs and things like that so that they can't do those kinds of things.
Hide them. But on the other side, you know, on the like the flip side of this is that it also allows you to bulk create content and schedule everything in advance. So it kind of automates things in a way. It forces you to automate things because you can't, you know, just post ad hoc. So maybe create some kind of discipline. And that's good. We need that.
What else? I mean, obviously, I guess the important thing is understanding your brand, your visual elements of your brand, so that you can do this. I guess you need to understand the colors. You need to understand the brand graphics. Is it better left in the hands of somebody, you know, visual like yourself, like a graphic designer? Is that somebody that you think would be, you know, be doing a better job at this?
Sure. If you have that kind of resource, yes, definitely. If you have like a marketer or a freelancer that's helping you out with that kind of stuff, or like a designer, or if you're one yourself, definitely. But it's not rocket science, right? Like it's really doable. Yeah. You can just read a bunch of articles, get yourself some, you know, filter apps, and, you know, just do it yourself. It's, you know, and again, because it allows you, because if you plan like a grid, and if you design a grid, it you know, you can just plan it, you know, for a month in advance as much as possible. You can tweak it afterwards, you know, add some other content in the meanwhile. But it's like, what I want to say is that it's not rocket science. It's just, you can read a bunch, you know, a couple of articles on that, and I think you should be good to go.
And then there's tools like Canva out there, which you can sign up and pay for a small amount of money. Yeah. And, you know, or, that's that.
Yeah. Can, yeah. Or VSCO for like filters. Right. Again, paid as well. I think they have like a 10 free filters that you can use, but it's like, it's quite cheap to buy it. And then you like pay for a year in advance. And I think it's like $10 or something like that. So okay. It's, so it's
what was
like,
that? What was that tool? VSCO?
Yeah, VSCO. VSCO.
Okay.
And it's like and probably the best app out there on like filters and stuff. There's a bunch of other ones, but this one is like very, it has a lot of filters and a lot of options on like editing photos.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. You mentioned before we started the podcast that you've also been helping out your mother with was it her Instagram feed?
Yes, she.
What, so explain to me what your mother does, because you know what business is she in?
She has a floral business.
Okay.
So she makes like crowns out of like, you know, with flowers for like events, like weddings and stuff like that. And I help her like manage her Instagram grid. I love it. I love it so much. I mean, it's so visual, and I think, you know, running a tech business, I think I miss like that visual side of things, like working with, you know, real life products, you know, physical products that you can take photos of and, you know, align them in a beautiful grid. I missed that a lot. And yeah, I've been helping her quite a lot with that. And, you know, that's how I like started working with the VSCO and really got obsessed with planning Instagram grids. And I looked into, you know, there's formats of Instagram grids, you know, like there's different types of ways you can actually arrange your grid. And they have names. There's like, you know, like the checkerboard grid.
Right. Okay. Right.
You just like the background colors you alternate, you know, light and dark background colors. And it's mostly like used with quotes and text and a bunch of other formats. I can go through them if you want to. They're pretty interesting.
Give us a couple of examples. Yeah. I mean, I never realized they all actually had names. That's, you know.
Yeah. So it's like the checkerboard.
I guess that makes sense that they do. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's then like the text line grid, which, you know, you've probably seen that. It's like you have one row in your grid, one of those three rows in your grid that is like a photos with text, right? And the other ones are like photos. Like one is text images and like flat background, flat color background, and the other ones are photos. And then it was a couple of years ago, the border grids were very, very popular, which was basically like, giving an extra white space frame to your photos, making like the white space between photos, you know, larger, bigger.
Even bigger. Yeah,
even bigger. Yeah. And then there's, I think, the most complicated two types of grids is the rainbow grid, which is like you transition through your photos and your photos like have specific colors, you know, like blue photos, and then you transition to green photos, yellow, and so on. Right. Those are like very difficult to, you know, to make and to plan. And then I think the most complicated one, which I've seen like gorgeous grids that have this type of layout, but it's just so hard to do it. It's like the puzzle grid. But it's like very strategic and very painful, but it's also like such a beautiful form of art on Instagram.
Right.
And, you know, the puzzle grid is basically each photo contains some kind of element and is connected with, you know, all its like neighbor posts. And it like all creates like an entire image. But it's so hard because you need to start with like a template. And with all of those grids, actually talking about, you know, all of this layout, you actually need to have the design of the grid before you even think, you know, about individual pictures of posts, which I think is like extremely, you know, it's hard to do, but like once you set up, once you like pick your type of layout, it is doable, right? Like you start with one of those formats, and you know, you just go ahead and you plan it. So yeah, it's an interesting world.
As you've been speaking, I've Googled puzzle grid Instagram. So anyone who wants to know what the Puzzle Grid Instagram is go and do that. There's some stunning, stunning examples of puzzle grids just under that Google search itself. I mean, they do look complicated, but they visually, obviously, they obviously have massive impact. And I guess if you're running a consumer brand that's focused, very visually focused, like fashion or beauty or those kind of things, that's you know, a fantastic option for you. But I also guess if you wanted to use Instagram in a non-consumer brand, there's no reason why you couldn't be using a puzzle grid or any other grid.
Yeah.
I did another search that was best Instagram grids, and there's great links for some really good examples of those grids.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm going to answer my own question here, but I guess the reason that you would use Instagram is if your target market is on Instagram. So
true.
Maybe if you're a B2B business, or maybe if you're, you know, you're targeting a demographic that doesn't use Instagram that much, then you might not do it. But
yeah.
I guess anybody could really create these puzzle grids, couldn't they?
I 100% agree. And even, like, I would say that even if you're a B2B business, it could also work. Like, B2B businesses, from what I've seen, are using quite a lot of the checkerboard grids, because it allows you to use a lot of text on it. And also the text line grids, right? Like, I've seen, you know, B2B businesses using Instagram for, like, employer branding, and potentially, you know, using one line of the grid for, like, their product, so they don't exclude the product or the service altogether from the grid. And then the other two rows for, like, employer branding stuff, you know, like, you know, new people in their team, how they're working, perks, a bunch of other stuff. So I don't think it's consumer only. Yeah. I think it can be used for, like, B2B businesses as well. But it's very flexible. Like, you can use it and you can plan your Instagram grid and design it and have it, you know, beautifully made. As long as it's, like, as long as your audience is present on Instagram, then yes, like, go ahead. This could really work out for you.
My second question for you today is how you stay constant on these channels. First question is, should you stay constant on the channels? And the second question is, how do you do that? Small to medium-sized businesses where perhaps they haven't got that internal resource, or perhaps they're scratching their heads as to how much content they can actually produce.
Yeah.
How do they tackle that kind of problem?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important to be consistent on Instagram. So I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to post 2 times a day. No, not at all. You just need to pick your own frequency, like what works for your brand and what works for the type of resources that you have. Like, in the beginning, for my mom's account, I was posting about, you know, once a day, just to ramp up things, right? Like, the account was pretty new. I, you know, needed to gather a bit of an audience. So I obviously needed to post a bit more often, and just, you know, so that the grid doesn't look empty. But afterwards, you know, like, you know, the events and the, you know, winter is coming, so there's not that many events. So the seasonality plays a big role in this particular business. So we're, you know, posting a bit less. We're posting, you know, two times a week. And that's very doable for any kind of business. I think it's pretty doable. That's like 10 posts a month, right? Like, I'm sure you can recycle some of the content, you know, use some, like, we're using quite a lot of photos from our own customers, as you can imagine, right? Like, from the weddings, from the events, and, you know, reposting it on our own channels. So you can find content for 10 posts, and that is doable. But if it's like your season, you know, it's like the active season, probably a bit more. So it really depends on the type of business that you have. But it is important to be consistent and to post on a regular basis, because then it gets out of hand. It's just about the discipline for yourself. Like, not it, like, if you miss 1 week, you might, you know, kind of slow down the posting, or like forget about your, you know, your Instagram account. So that's why I think you need consistency. You need to build that habit of, like, planning. You know, pick 1 week in the month or a few days in the month where you plan ahead for your entire month. You schedule them all. You find some kind of tool that helps you with the grid and and with, you know, scheduling, wink, wink, plannable potentially or not. There's a bunch of tools out there. Yeah. Basically, you know, you can automate that type of stuff and it doesn't need to take a lot of your time.
I had a conversation a couple of episodes ago with around, again, social media and content yeah. production with a previous guest, Thibault Clement. He suggested consistency beats creativity. And it's been interesting is that we've taken that on board, certainly in the last 2 or 3 weeks, with our internal marketing people. And I believe that now. People used to talk about producing, you know, you need to produce this amazing content, this, you know, that gets people's attention, or, you know, people used to talk about the effort that you needed to put into good content, and that one good content piece was worth more than, you know, 10 average content pieces. But his statement about consistency beats creativity, to me, rings true. And you being in that space, I kind of wanted to ask you that same question to see what you thought.
Yeah, I agree and disagree a little bit. I agree from the perspective.
Yeah. You can't sit on the fence. Come on.
So look, I agree in some kind of, in certain situations, like I agree because like there's a saying, you know, 90% of success is just showing up. And yes. that, yeah, you know.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah, yeah.
So you need to be there. You need to put yourself out there. And also, you know, like perfection, another saying, perfection is the enemy of, you know, of good. So I think if you like try yeah. to think too much about how can I make it like extremely creative, how can I make it better, you're never going to, you know, you're never going to communicate, you're never going to post, you're never going to market your product, you're never going to launch. So I think yeah. I agree with that from that perspective. But then on the other side, consistency might not work for some specific channels. Like for example, if you want to do SEO a lot for your business, then there, you know, quality beats, you know, quantity quite a lot. Like you need long articles, very well researched, very thoroughly written. So that doesn't work in those circumstances.
Yeah.
I think for social yeah. specifically, yes, I agree. But that like not for everything in the marketing world, but for social specifically, yes, I think consistency is sometimes more important than just, you know, creativity.
My last question for you today, take you back to your digital marketing days, your digital agency days. And I want you to put social media aside. Let's pretend social media doesn't happen, never happened.
Yeah.
If you were sitting advising a client, what's the one piece of advice that you would potentially give them from a marketing perspective about growing their business? And again, social media, you can't talk about that. So I want to hear about all those other channels and ideas that what's been the most effective that you think people should focus on as well as social media?
I think
you mentioned SEO there.
Yes, and, yeah. I want to double down on that actually. I think content is the big trend nowadays, right? Like everyone is like yeah. creating content. But I think one thing that people are forgetting, and we've definitely made this mistake, you know, inside Plannable even, and in my previous agency as well. One thing that people forget is that you can't just build content and expect people to come. If content yeah. is not paid, sponsored, it's not going to drive traffic. Or if content is not, you know, optimized for search engines, it's not going to drive content. It's not going to drive traffic. You can't just, you know, build it and expect people to come. You got to either yeah. optimize it for search engines or pay for it. Those are the only two options. Or if you get lucky, like build some kind of like viral content and then it, you know, takes off. But that's like the chances are very slim and you can't plan for that. You can't plan viral content. I guess, you know, that's one thing that people forget. They put a lot of effort into building this amazing content, but then forget about like distribution and how, you know, that content is actually going to drive traffic and bring an audience.
When I talk to clients about marketing and doing types of marketing, I always tell them there's three types of marketing. There's lead generation, there's branding, and there's nurturing. And when you talk about content, content is to me the, you know, a great example of nurture marketing, because you're nurturing your relationship with your existing client by, or people that know you by producing good quality content. But you're 110% right, is that it's all well and good you doing nurture marketing and creating content and all those kind of things. But if you never tell anybody that that content is there, you're entirely wasting your time.
I agree. And you put you usually put a lot of effort into creating that particular content, like a campaign or maybe like an ebook. If we're talking about, you know, B2B businesses, like white papers, academies, a bunch of other things you do. And there's a lot of resources, money and time that you put in, you know, building that content. It's hugely expensive to build like meaningful, valuable content. It's not easy, right? And then you totally forget about like how you're going to, you know, how people are going to see it, how they're going to discover it.
And I think that's a massive, I think people completely forget that point. And, and invariably nowadays you have to go, well, I'm going to have to actually spend some money to get people to look at this.
Exactly. Because
that is the stark reality of the, you know, of the world, whether it's social media or whether it's SEO, whether it's Google AdWords or whether it's a billboard or whatever it is, you're going to have to spend money, time, effort, something.
Pay to play.
Drive people to look at that content. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay, that's pretty much all the questions I have for you. One more. I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
And given that you're in Bucharest, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you something that no one else would have seen. I often ask people about their favorite brands, right?
Okay.
Brands that impact them, or brands that they see do. Brands that they envy, that they see do a good job all the time, and think, you know, that's the gold standard for marketing and branding. What is that in Romania? What's the brand that stands out the most in, you know, in Romania?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's probably a bank, to be honest.
Wow, that's very depressing. If that's
Or maybe like from the tech, from a tech perspective, I think there's a company that is doing a great job at like branding themselves. And it's usually hard to brand tech companies. And this particular one has all the resources because they're like a unicorn. They raised like hundreds of millions so far. So they do have the resources to make it easy. But it's called UiPath, one of the biggest enterprise companies right now and probably one of the most successful ones, and definitely the most successful like example and story that came out of Romania. We don't have too many consumer like companies, you know, like, and you know, Europeans don't have, it's mostly enterprise, you know, thinking about like consumer companies born in Europe, I can only think about like Skype and Spotify probably.
Yeah.
So it's usually not very sexy stuff in terms of marketing, unfortunately.
No. I was going to say no amazing fashion brands that have come out of Romania. No. I couldn't think of one either. Anyway, look, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your time and your thoughts. And I know we're over a big time difference here. So I appreciate that.
Thanks a lot,
Simon. Last question. If people want to get a hold of you, if people want to ask you a question, or they want to see your product, or they want to use your product, what's the best way of getting hold of you or reaching out to you?
Sure. If you want to, you know, give Planable a spin, you can just go to our website, planable.io, planable.io. And then if you want to chat with me, I'm more than happy to connect on LinkedIn. I do hang out on LinkedIn quite a lot. So send me a connection request, tell me that you've heard me on this podcast, and I would be very happy to chat with you.
Xenia, thank you very much for your time. It has been an absolute pleasure, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks so much, Simon. I had a blast.
That's it for me, episode number 97. We are fast approaching episode number 100. I know exactly what we're going to do for episode number 100 and 101, and it's going to be a gratuitous, selfish act of self-love. probably sounds quite disturbing for anyone listening to this, but it's not going to be that bad. But yeah, look, thank you very much for tuning in, and we hope to welcome you back next week.